Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Alaska Beagle Ranch. My name is Dave Dorsey, and I manage the ranch located in Wasilla, Alaska. Presently, there are 12 beagles and one basset living at the ranch. Sorry, today's show is late. We were having some technical difficulties, like I am talking right now, but we have them squared away for now. We also visited the Matsu Animal Shelter. Then, of course, this morning was Blueberry Pancake Day. For those that don't know, I make blueberry pancakes most Sundays for me and the pups. Making blueberry pancakes for 12 beagles and a basset and me is a little time-consuming. We have some exciting news this weekend. Trigger has passed his wellness checkup, as you know, and was to have a meet and greet this past week. Unfortunately, it had to be rescheduled due to some really bad weather we are having, but it's going to happen today. I recently got with the Matsu Animal Shelter, and they will get us at the AVR on any beagles that come to them. I've reached out to the Anchorage Animal Shelter, but haven't heard back from them yet. I did get a notice that there was a beagle at Matsu Animal Shelter, and I went to pull it out, but there was a nice woman adopting her when I got there. She adopted a 14-year-old beagle 6 weeks ago and was looking for a companion. All the best wishes to Max and Penny, and have a happy beagle life. If you're interested on having an adoption application on file, you can email me at akbeagleranch@gmail.com. Remember, just because you sent in an application doesn't mean you automatically get a beagle. We need to make sure that you're right for that beagle, your home is right for a beagle, and make sure that beagle is right for you. We are also looking for some wonderful fosters. There can be a lot involved in being a foster, so think it over. Some of our beagles might need special attention, needs like having to go to the vet, or they might need to take meds, and maybe it might need some additional training. Of course, they always need some good loving. Sorry, but you must live in the Matanuska-Susitna Valley area, specifically near Wasilla or Palmer. Email me at akbeagleranch@gmail.com or call us at 907-202-4226 for more information. Remember, our goal is for every beagle, especially in Alaska, has a happy home. Today's show is dedicated to Lily and Spot, their siblings here at the ranch. On last week's show, we talked about what to do if your beagle passes away. Well, what if you become incapacitated? You pass away or are terminally ill. Are your long, loyal buddies going to be taken care of after you're gone? We all think we're bulletproof and 10 foot tall, but we all start dying the day we are born. Here's hoping that it's after a long, happy life. As a responsible pet owner, you provide your pet with food and water, shelter, veterinary care, and love. It's even more important if you're single like me. You don't have a significant other to care for your pups. To ensure that your beloved pet will continue to receive this care should something unexpected happen to you, it's critical to plan ahead. I have. I'm sending all 12 beagles and one basset to my ex-wife's home. Just joking, of course. Get up off the floor, Ruth. But here are some things to think about. In the confusion that accompanies a person's unexpected illness, accident, or death, pets may be overlooked. In some cases, pets are discovered in the person's home days after the tragedy. To prevent this from happening to your pet, take these simple precautions. Find at least two responsible friends or relatives who agree to serve as temporary emergency caregivers in the event that something unexpected happens to you. Provide them with keys to your home, feeding and care instructions, the name of your veterinarian, and information about the permanent care provisions you have made for your pet. Make sure your neighbors, friends, and relatives know how many pets you have and the names and contact numbers of the individuals who have agreed to serve as emergency caregivers. Emergency caregivers should also know how to contact each other. Carry a wallet alert card that lists the names and phone numbers of your emergency pet caregivers. Post-removable in case of emergency. Notices on your doors or windows specifying how many and what types of pets you have. These notices will alert emergency response personnel during a fire or other home emergency. Don't use stickers. Hard-to-remove stickers are often left behind by former residents, so firefighters may assume that the sticker is outdated, or worse, they may risk their lives trying to find a pet no longer in the house. Affixed to the inside of your front and back doors are removable notices listing emergency contact names and phone numbers. Because pets need care daily and will need immediate attention should you die or become incapacitated, the importance of making these informal arrangements for temporary caregiving cannot be overemphasized. How can you ensure long-term or permanent care for your pet if you become seriously ill or die? The best way to make sure your wishes are fulfilled is by also making formal arrangements that specifically cover the care of your pet. It's not enough that long ago your friend verbally promised to take in your animal, or even that you've decided to leave money to your friend for that purpose. Work with an attorney to draw up a specific will, trust, or other document to provide the care and ownership of your pet, as well as the money necessary to care for them. How do you choose a permanent caregiver? First, decide whether you want all your pets to go to one person or whether different pets should go to different people. If possible, keep pets who have bonded with one another together. When selecting caregivers, consider partners, adult children, parents, brothers, sisters, and friends who have met your pet and have successfully cared for pets themselves. Also, name alternate caregivers in case your first choice becomes unable or unwilling to take your pet. Be sure to discuss your expectations with potential caregivers so they understand the large responsibility of caring for your pet. Remember, the new owner will have full discretion over the animal's care, including veterinary treatment and euthanasia. So make sure you choose a person you trust implicitly and who will do what is in the best interest of your pet. Stay in touch with designated caregivers and alternates. Over time, people's circumstances and priorities change, and you want to make sure that the arrangements you have made continue to hold from designated caregivers' vantage points. If all else fails, it is also possible to direct your executor or personal representative in your will to place the animal with another individual or family, that is, in a non-institutionalized setting. Finding a satisfactory new home can take several weeks of searching, so again, it is important to line up temporary care. You also have to know and trust your executor and provide useful but not unrealistically confining instructions in your will. You should also authorize your executor to expend funds from your estate for the temporary care of your pets, as well as for the cost of looking for a new home and transporting the animal to it. The will should also grant broad discretion to your executor in making decisions about the animal and expending estate funds on the animal's behalf. Sample language for this approach is like this. As a matter of high priority and importance, I direct my personal representative to place any and all animals I may own at the time of my death with another individual or family, that is, in a private, non-institutionalized setting, where such animals will be cared for in a manner that is any responsible, devoted pet owner would afford to his or her pets. Prior to initiating such efforts to place my animals, I direct my personal representative to consult the pet's vet and or clinic in the event of the vet's unavailability, a veterinarian chosen by my personal representative to ensure that each animal is in general good health and is not suffering physically. In addition, I direct my personal representative to provide any needed reasonable veterinary care that my animals may need at that time to restore the animals to generally good health and to alleviate suffering, if possible. Any animals not in generally good health or who is so suffering and whose care is beyond the capabilities of veterinary medicine, reasonably employed to restore to generally good health or to alleviate suffering, shall be euthanized cremated and the ashes disposed of at the discretion of my personal representative. Any expenses incurred for the care, including the cost of veterinary services, placement or transportation of my animals, or to otherwise affect the purpose of this article, up to the time of placement, shall be charged against the principal of my residuary estate. Decisions my personal representative makes under this article, for example, with respect to the veterinary care to be afforded to my animals and the cost of such care, shall be final. My intention is that my personal representative have the broadest possible discretion to carry out the purposes of this paragraph. Wow, what a mouthful, but man, that'll get the point across and it's totally legalized. Can you entrust the care of your pet to an organization? Most humane organizations do not have the space or funds to care for your pet indefinitely and cannot guarantee that someone will adopt your animal. Although some may be able to board and care for your pet temporarily until it can be transferred to its designated caregiver. There are, however, a few organizations that specialize in long-term care of pets of deceased owners. For a fee or donation, these pet retirement homes or sanctuaries may agree to find your pet a new home or care for your pet until it dies. Be aware, however, that pets are companion animals who need lots of care and affection. They may suffer from long-term confinement in such facilities. Your pet will not want to be institutionalized any more than you would want to be. Before making any formal arrangements, visit the organization to see how animals are cared for, where they are confined, who looks after them, when they are socialized and exercised, and what policies and procedures exist regarding care at the facility and placement with a new family. Also, consider what might happen to your pet if the organization were to suffer funding or staff shortages. If you decide to entrust the care of your pet to an organization, choose a well-established organization that has a good record of finding responsible homes quickly. Can you request that my pet be euthanized after my death? Being concerned about what will happen to your pet after your death is normal, but some people take this concern to extremes, requesting that their pet be euthanized out of fear that no one else will care for the animal appropriately. When an owner puts this request in their will, that provision is often ruled invalid by the legal system when the animal is young or in good health, and when other humane alternatives are available. There are some cases when euthanasia may be appropriate. If a pet is very old or requires extensive treatment for a health condition, for example, it might be unfair to both the pet and your designated caregiver to insist on indefinite care. That's why it's important to choose a responsible caregiver and thoroughly discuss the animal's condition and needs so that the caregiver can make the best decision after you're gone. Do you need legal assistance? Before making formal arrangements to provide for the long-term care of your pet, seek help from professionals who can guide you in preparing legal documents that can protect your interests and those of your pet. However, you must keep in mind the critical importance of making advance personal arrangements to ensure that your pet is cared for immediately if you die or become incapacitated. The formalities of a will or trust may not take over for some time. Is a will the best way to provide for your pet? Although your lawyer will help you decide what type of documents best suits your needs, you should be aware of some drawbacks to wills. For example, a will takes effect only upon your death, and it will not be probated and formally recognized by a court for days or even weeks later. Also, if legal disputes arise, the final settlement of your property may be prolonged. Even determining the rightful new owner of your pet can be delayed. In other words, it may take a long time before your instructions regarding your pet's long-term care can be carried out. This doesn't necessarily mean that you should not include a provision in your will that provides for your pet. It just means that you should explore creating additional documents that compensate for the will's limitations. How can setting up a trust help? Unlike a will, a trust can provide for your pet immediately and can apply not only if you die, but also if you become ill or incapacitated. That's because you determine when your trust becomes effective. When you create a trust for your pet, you set aside money to be used for its care, and you specify a trustee to control the funds. A trust created separately from the will carries certain benefits. It can be written to exclude certain assets from the probate process so that funds are more readily available to care for your pet. It can be structured to provide for your pet even during a lengthy disability. Which is right for you, a will or a trust? There are many types of wills and trusts. Determining which is best for you and your pet depends on your situation and needs. It is important to seek the advice of an attorney who both understands your desire to provide for your pet and can help you create a will and or trust that best provides for it. You and your attorney also need to make sure that a trust for the benefit of one or more specific animals is valid and enforceable in our state. Even if your state law requires the validity of such trust, keep in mind that tying up a substantial amount of money or property in a trust for an animal's benefit may prove to be controversial the point of view of a relative or other heir. Moreover, trusts are legal entities that are relatively expensive to administer and maintain, all of which underscores the need for careful planning and legal advice. After you and your lawyer create a will, a trust, or both, leave copies with the person you've chosen to be the executor of your estate, as well as with the pet's designated caregiver, so that he or she can look after your pet immediately. Remember, the executor and caregiver may or may not be the same person. Make sure the caregiver also has copies of your pet's veterinary records and information about their behavior, traits, and dietary preferences. Consider a power of attorney. Powers of attorney, which authorize someone else to conduct some or all of your affairs for you while you are alive, have become a standard planning device. Such documents can be written to take effect upon your physical or mental incapacity and to continue in effect after you become incapacitated. They are simpler than trust and do not create a legal entity that needs to be maintained by formal means. Provisions can be inserted in powers of attorney, authorizing your attorney, in fact, the person designated to handle your affairs, to take care of your pets, expend money to do so, and even to place your pets with permanent caregivers if appropriate. Like any other legal device, however, powers of attorney are documents that by themselves cannot ensure that your pet is fed, walked, medicated, or otherwise cared for daily. Legal devices can only complement your personal efforts in thinking ahead and finding temporary and permanent caregivers who can take over your pet's care immediately when the need arises. It is critical to coordinate with more formal legal planning your own efforts in finding suitable caregivers. Note, please pay attention to this. I am not an attorney. I am a beagle lover. Seek an attorney when making these decisions. They will know what the laws are and what your legal rights are. One more thing while we're talking about this. Aria was our beagle spotlight in episode 5. Her human was Tom, and he was dying from diabetes. He suggested to his ex-wife that when he passed, that she would see if I would take Aria. I was very happy to. But what if I said no? Tom didn't know that Aria had cancer and wouldn't live another year. What would have happened to her? Fortunately, I was able to take her, and I was very happy to care for her and make her comfortable until her time came. Beagle Spotlight. Spot and Lily came to ABR on October 20th, 2019. I remember picking them up at ARF in Anchorage. Lily was 9 and Spot was 8. Boy, were they wound up. When I stopped for gas on the way home, I had to squeeze out of my Passat so they didn't get out. I left the windows cracked and they were baying and howling their lungs out. The people at the other pumps were laughing so hard. We stopped at Petco to get them a new harness and name tags. The young girl that helped us was making sure the harness fit well. She sat it on the floor and they were all over her. She was laughing so hard. It didn't take long to find out they were escape artists. Steve McQueen has nothing on these guys. Lily was the instigator and Spot was the follower. But Lily would dump Spot if he was too slow or got hurt. They were on the trail for rabbits and shrews. I came home from work one day and Lily and Spot were tied to the deck with a rope. There was a note on the door. These guys were chasing something under my shed. I brought them back and they tried getting it back out. So I tied them to the deck. Please return the rope. We're friends to this day. They always took off up my neighbor's driveway into the woods behind her house. I get a text from her. Two beagles just went by about 60 miles per hour. Christmas Eve, they both got out when my grandson opened the gate to come visit. We found Spot in about 30 minutes. He broke a nail and was limping. Lily dumped him. I never found Lily that night, but I kept an eye out for her until late. When I get up in the morning, I pet each pup and say good morning, and there was Lily. It was on her surrender slip that they escaped too much, and the previous humans didn't have time for them. They're both senior pups now and have slowed down like most of us do when we get older. Lily came to the ranch with possible hip issues, but that turned out to be back issues, is on muscle relaxers and pain medications. Spot says if Lily's not taken off, he isn't either. Like most beagles, they love attention. They're bed hogs and love treats. Lily really loves her belly rubs. If we come across a squirrel on our walk, beagle mode engages. They can drag you down the street. These two are awesome pups, and I'm so glad they made it to the ranch. I hope they're with us a long, long time. I can tell you stories, but today's show is a little long. Sorry, maybe in another episode. Just a reminder, Alaska Beagle Ranch is a nonprofit, and we depend on donations to help us with our mission. What is our mission? Our mission and our goal is for every beagle, especially in Alaska, has a happy home. For our beagles to be happy, they need to be healthy. We only adopt out healthy beagles, so we need your help in paying medical bills to get or keep them healthy so they can find their forever home. Beagles that can't be adopted out become residents at ABR. Their medical, food, and upkeep can be costly. We know that the holiday season is a stressful time of year, and the economy isn't as good as we like it to be. Just a few dollars add up and goes a long way. Go to our Facebook page of Alaska Beagle Ranch, and you can find out how you can donate through PayPal or Amazon. A special shout out today to Southern Galvanizing in Baltimore, Maryland. Their matching donation of Mike Mullins is going to help the ranch out a lot. Also, a shout out to Yukuska Quinn Professional Services for visiting us and dropping off some early Beagle Christmas presents, and their donation will help keep the Beagles' bellies full through the holidays. Thank you for listening to the Alaska Beagle Ranch. You can find our notes on our blog at akbeagleranch.blogspot.com, even though I'm a little bit behind on posting them. If you know someone who is looking to get a beagle, please share our podcast with them. All the episodes will tell you what you need to know about beagles. If you have any questions about beagles, and if they are right for you, email me at akbeagleranch@gmail.com or call us at 907-202-4226. You can follow us on Facebook at Alaska Beagle Ranch or on Twitter at @beagle_ranch. If you would like to support the Alaska Beagle Ranch, there are links on how to on our Facebook page. Be sure to like, subscribe, and maybe some feedback. See you next week.